Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 8 of season 7. It's called Attached. It was directed by Jonathan Frakes, written by Nick Sagan, aired back on November 8th, 1993. In this one, Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher are locked in a psychic bond after they're kidnapped on a routine sort of away mission to introduce new planets into the Federation. Anyway, they get to experience each other's deepest and darkest thoughts. And you know what? It turns out to be all right. And then the end happens. Anyway, Joe is here to talk about this one, and we're going to talk about Attached right after this.
There's no way out of here.
Maybe we took a wrong turn. So am I.
What?
I'm thirsty too.
I didn't say anything about being thirsty.
I heard you. You said I'm very thirsty.
I was thinking about it, but I didn't say anything.
You were thinking it?
The transceivers. Lauren said that they would align themselves to our psi wave patterns.
The implants must be transmitting our thoughts. What am I thinking?
I don't know.
I can't hear your thoughts either. Well, maybe it was a fluke.
Well, right now we have more immediate concerns. Does your map show us a way out of here?
Yes. We need to go up.
They did it, Joe. They brought back the Picard and Beverly relationship. It's been a long time, but apparently the TNG was saying, you know, it's the last season, season 7. Why don't we go ahead and try to close up something that shockingly hasn't been brought up much at all to this point? But anyway, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Wes, how are you?
Good. We're going to welcome it as your first appearance on the podcast, anyway.
Yes, it's my first appearance on any podcast. I'm very excited.
It's a big step in every young man's life.
I can't.
A podcast that's listened to by literally tens of people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear my own voice coming through my car stereo speakers.
What'd you think of Attached?
You know, I'll tell you what about Attached. It's an utterly average episode that has a pretty good character piece in the middle. The stuff with Beverly and Picard is, I liked it quite a bit. I found it kind of touching. Now the stuff with the Kesperit is the most generic Trek I've seen in TNG. It's your boilerplate TNG episode, essentially.
Yeah, I thought that, I think I agree. I sort of wonder about this one. Like, I don't know if this is a very good episode that has a few problems that knock it down to okay, or if it's just okay across the board and I'm sort of reading into it more than I want to. I guess we'll start with the... Well, I guess I'll start off by saying that I think this episode is kind of a mirror image of The Offspring and Dark Page for me, where...
Okay.
Those episodes were fairly mediocre until the end, which had like really, really great scenes, I thought, in The Offspring and Dark Page, and they sort of elevated the overall episode, even if the rest of it wasn't all that good. I keep calling it Affected. Attached is the exact opposite, where I think it's an okay episode going along, and then the ending is so horrific that it sucks the life out of the rest of the episode.
Well, you know, actually, I can see what you're saying. Certainly about Dark Page. I'm kind of have a penchant towards The Offspring because it was just so damn devastating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ending of those episodes is what elevates it here. I think that Attached has this problem where the show knows that it's episodic. And the way that it chooses to end this episode is really just sort of like a kick in the teeth to the viewer. And it's really what Beverly, Crusher, and Picard deciding not to be together makes literally zero sense in context of what goes on in this entire episode.
Well, it makes sense within. I know it's the whole one of they just did do it already and get it over with kind of thing. But I see their point, but it's like, damn it, just do it already. Well, Picard is so stoic, and he's married to the Enterprise. He's a stubborn SOB. And Beverly is, I don't know.
I think we're reading into these characters in a way that, you know, I think there is a way that this episode would end without them getting together. But the script itself doesn't make any effort to sort of explain why that would be. Like, you could have it be explained away as, oh, like, remember that Lessons episode? You learned that you can't be involved with people on Starship. And things like that, like, how do we, like, you bring Wesley into it or something. But they don't do anything like that. They just have her say, maybe we shouldn't try. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Yeah. And that is actually an odd choice, too, is that Picard was the one that was actually pushing for them to get together, maybe, right, and have a relationship, which is more out of character for him than it would be out of character for Beverly. But then, of course, she has the whole thing with Jack dying, and maybe we are reading into it too much.
Why not just bring up Jack dying as a reason enough that he can do this? But we'll get back to the ending. I think that was my sort of takeaway, is that it was a mirror opposite of The Offspring and Dark Page, and that, like, it was okay until the end, and the end torpedoed everything that happened before. But the a quick sort of plot synopsis is that Picard and Beverly go to negotiate a thing on this planet called Kesprit, where this planet is applying to become a member of the Federation. They get abducted by one of the factions on this planet because they are very paranoid and suspicious of each other, the Kess and the Prit, hence the name Kesprit, which is awful. And so the Picard and Beverly have this psychic link put into them. They get these sort of implants that link them telepathically, and they start to read each other's minds, and then they escape, and they spend the episode on the run on the lam, and all the while sharing each other's most intimate thoughts. And eventually it's revealed that Picard, if he does not still love Beverly, he did love her at some point in the past, and they have a nice conversation. And then the episode ends, and the B story is Riker dealing with the sort of paranoid Kesprit people, and dealing with their difficulty. Let's see. So you started off by saying this is a generic sort of average episode of TNG.
Well, yes, the Kesprit stuff is very, very generic TNG. Okay, so there's this planet, they want to join the Federation, but, oh, there's this other faction that doesn't want to let it happen. Someone's kidnapped. Very much a TNG thing, and that leads to a disaster. That reads like your boilerplate episode of TNG to me.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder now, like, I'm starting to see the boilerplate and more obvious, like, this is how they do a TNG episode type thing. In season 7, you can't help but notice that this is how they make these episodes at this point.
Yeah, it's true. Season 7 is it seems like a decline from 6, but it certainly has its, it has its very high points, in my opinion.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to any of those yet, unfortunately.
Looking forward to parallels.
I think Attached is the best episode of season 7 so far. We haven't done that many, but I think, in my opinion, it's the best one leading up to where we are now.
I think I'd have to agree with you on that.
It's continuing sort of a trend that we've been noticing. Like, season 7 is getting a little bit more melodramatic, which is interesting. And it's getting a little bit more of the... they're starting to do character stories, which is what we were complaining about earlier in season 7. They're starting to sort of close the loop.
You were.
they've closed the loop with Loxana. They're going to sort of close the Crusher Picard loop in the most obnoxious way possible, but they do it in this episode. And this is better than Liaisons and everything like that. Like, this is what the show should be doing in season 7. I just think it doesn't do it particularly well here. So let's start from the beginning. What do you think of the Picard Crusher relationship, like, through the course of TNG from season 1 all the way to where we are now?
I've always really liked it. They seemed like a natural couple, and the fact that they're their whole backstory is so well laid out with such tragedies and such just a rich
backstory. It's a pretty fucked up thing when they write it this way. You know, it's like Picard was pining after his best friend's wife, and then he let his best friend die. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and not only that, they've gone into it. It's like Tasha Yar with the rape gangs. They've gone into it explicitly, where you get this picture in your head of Picard trudging across the landscape, carrying Jack Crusher's body to their door.
And then he just lays them down, charred.
Yeah, you get to see like a lone tear goes down his eye, and Beverly puts her hand to her mouth. But I've always liked the romance, even though that now that you mention it, yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
It is. It's very fucked up. And they haven't they actually let it die a little bit, in my opinion. Like they didn't really bring this up all that often outside of the first couple seasons.
No, they didn't. They really didn't. It feels like there was more to it than that.
Yes, they were obviously trying to go for something early, and they gave up. I mean, the Naked Now has one of their most awkward scenes where Crusher's sort of like unzipping her blouse and rubbing her neckline, and as Picard says, "Not now, Doctor," which is just my favorite terrible scene from season one.
Well, you got to admit that that scene, she wasn't the drunkest one at the party. That honor would go to either Chief Engineer Jim Shimoda Tasha Yar.
One in the long line of chief engineers. So I mean, they've hinted at this relationship. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I also think that the actor and actress have a very good chemistry for what's going on here.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Especially considering how little they use Crusher in this. And it's another thing is, you know, now we're in season seven. I watch the episodes and I notice things like this. It's like there have not been many Picard Crusher episodes where they're sort of paired together.
I really
can't think of many at all outside of sort of Crusher centric things like Remember Me, but Picard isn't really a part of that.
Yeah, well, no, he was for about a minute before he disappeared off the bridge, so yeah.
It's not a Data-Geordi pairing like Worf or like Riker and Worf. I can't pick out scenes for those two, you know, besides...
Now that you mention it, yeah, missed opportunity there. I'm surprised we remember this so well.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Well, I mean, yeah, so I'm surprised that Picard Crusher love affair is so well remembered,
right? Yeah, by the audience, you mean, right? Like by the general.
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly always knew about the whole will they, won't they thing in the back of my head, but yeah. That was coming from a 10-year-old boy watching this.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's just super more obvious then, or something like that. So, I mean, I guess I sort of think I agree with you that the Kesprit stuff is really sort of generic at this point. However, I thought the acting and the setup of it was interesting enough to carry me, even though their paranoia thing just immediately went over the top. There was no subtlety to it.
Oh, yeah, but that paranoia thing, that was fucking great, man. All those plasma balls, where was he sleeping in those quarters?
I did like that. I did like the fact that he brings all his garbage in to sort of secure the area and everything.
All this junk, as Riker put it.
Get all this junk out of here. It doesn't really have a point to it, you know, whatsoever. And it's funny to me because I feel like there's a thematic way to tie in paranoia to the other story of people reading each other's minds.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
They don't do anything with it at all, which is kind of frustrating to me.
Because I was actually thinking about that, too. How far would this link go? Because you're saying paranoia with reading each other's minds, but this link between them, I mean, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Is this going to eventually lead to something like a miniature Borg collective or something? Yeah. How far are their consciousnesses going to merge? Also evidenced by the fact when they get farther away from each other, they experience extreme nausea. Yes. It's like a part of their brain is cut off. So it's like the two are networking together in a very unhealthy and pretty horrific way.
Yeah. They don't want to come to the conclusions, obviously, of what that's going to be. I just think it's I kind of remember this episode watching it and just thinking that I remember there being a lot more of Picard and Crusher together on this one, and there really isn't. They only have a couple scenes, like the escape, and then they sort of have their realizing what their telepathy is, and then they have the bonding scene where they sit around the campfire, and then they have the escape scene. But a lot of it's spent with Riker and the Kesprit, and I think sort of to the episode's detriment. I would have preferred more Picard and Crusher.
I absolutely agree with you. I noticed the exact same thing because we went through this in the viewing party a few months ago. The one prevailing memory that stuck with me was how impressed I was with the Picard Crusher thing. I remembered the episode being, you know, I was like, wow, that was actually pretty good. I was expecting a really bad episode when I first watched it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty good. But yeah, I remembered that's the only part I remembered that much about other than those blue Tron inspired uniforms.
they've just given up on the alien costuming in season 7. They're just like, it doesn't matter, just make them wear whatever.
The uniform on her, it was terrible.
Even the Kes guy, he's just like, he's wearing like a brown sort of like garbage bag over him, and it's just like, this is just trash.
Oh well, don't forget about the paranoid scowl,
right? Yeah, with like sort of like an old Wolverine haircut or something, just kind of like combed out to the sides a little bit.
That dude was straight up nuts with his paranoia. It makes you wonder why the Federation is considering entering these guys at all, considering...
It continues our criticism of the Federation apparently does no research on anyone that they go to interact with, because the crew is always caught off guard by whatever their assignment is, which makes no sense. It's like, why don't they know this? This is like... You'd think that the Federation would have scouts. You know, they clearly do. We've seen episodes where they have scouts going out into the planet.
Who watches the Watchers, for instance?
Right, and they weren't going to join with them, but at least they are aware of what's going on. Here it's like, oh,
right,
these guys are ready to join. No, actually, they're not. They're highly paranoid of each other.
That's probably those damn badmirals just not looking into anything anymore. They got some political agenda going on here.
I actually liked the intro of the Kesprit. I thought that when they were playing it very subtle at the start, and the guy saying sort of vague things like, oh, we haven't had official contact with them, but we had a few unofficial meetings. It's like, oh, maybe there's something going on here. There really isn't. They control a village of the other city, which is never really explained what he means by that. There seems to be a whole lot going on with Kesprit, and they don't really get into any of it. They just want Riker to deliver the sort of melodramatic speech about he's not willing to accept them into the Federation.
Right. Well, I saw it kind of like, it was a bit of like a Cold War analogy almost between the two, that they were just, you know, they had no official relations.
That's true.
And back and forth spying on each other, various little terrorist operations. I mean, it obviously was more dramatic than the real Cold War, because at least, you know, Russia and the U.S. kind of kept it in the real world and not Star Trek. Right. But
allegedly.
Yeah, that's what it's...
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. No, other than us all is killing each other in 83 accidentally and all, but yeah.
I think it's such a wasted thing to have the storylines not really interact with each other. It's like, you really just get the feeling like they just smashed together stories. This was written by Carl Sagan's son, which I thought was interesting.
Indeed it was, yeah. Nick Sagan, right?
So that alone is kind of fascinating, but I always think it's just such a wasted opportunity when the B story is so disconnected from the A story. And it's kind of a sign of the weakness of some of the episodes. Like, really great episodes don't have this problem. It's where they start thinking that the A story is not enough to carry everything, and they can't fit a B story in thematically, which I always think is kind of frustrating. You sort of basically said that the Kes stuff is just generic boilerplate sort of TNG stuff, but did you have any thoughts about how it related to the A story or anything that you thought went wrong, or did it remind you of anything like that?
Well, other than all it did was provide a framework for the A story,
basically,
to be honest. Yeah. That's all I got out of it.
You need a reason to separate Picard and Crusher, right?
Right, right. And even at the end, it's like, oh, hey, she just went through the force field. Or was it Picard? One of them went through the force field.
Yeah.
Okay, Picard goes through the force field. Okay, so right now is the time that we made the deal. Beam them up.
Right.
Right before you could separate them, right before they'd be in immense pain from the separation, let's just do this right now. It's an amazing coincidence.
I didn't even think about the pain thing. I just thought it was narratively unsatisfying. She makes this sacrifice for him, and then immediately they're like, oh, yeah, never mind. Just beam them both up either way.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It completely kills the drama of her decision to do that.
Right, right. The whole Kesper thing was a narrative abortion, other than the whole paranoid dude up on the Enterprise, like, you know, twirling his mustache, and right. Then, of course, abducting the Prit ambassador.
So I guess we should really just stick to Crusher and Picard here. I'll talk a little bit more about them. I never really cared for... Not that I didn't care. I guess I just don't care about their relationship. And I don't think that the show cares about them either, obviously. And I think that this episode actually suffers from Lessons being as good as it was.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel that Lessons takes a lot of the wind out of the sails of this episode.
I didn't even think of that.
Just because why Picard can't be in a romance is done much better in the Lessons episode than this one. Like, and the fact that the Crusher thing kind of is just a subset of the Lessons storyline. It's the same thing. You know what I mean?
It's about dating someone under your command, but it's also about dating Beverly.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Beverly is the one that got away.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, she was like the big crush.
Right. Never made clear until this episode, but I think they fit it in nicely. And it obviously, yeah, as you're saying, she's the one that got away, and Picard regrets it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really devastating that they didn't continue the relationship at this point. I know that we're supposed to feel bad for Picard at the end, where he's like blowing out the candles very dramatically and looking out the window.
Oh God, it was so dramatic, and that outfit he was wearing, which does not compare to the outfit that she was wearing. My God.
My wife's favorite thing about this show, I think, at this point, after I forced her to sit through like probably half of these, has just been the leisure wear of people on the Enterprise. Like, what they wear in their spare time is just
fucking terrible.
Picard is just always wearing a deep V. He's just got a deep cut V on, and he's just showing off his chest. And it's really, really, really something. I don't know why. You think they'd have a better sense of style in the future?
Yeah, you would. And you'd expect Riker to be the one hanging around in the deep V anyway.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his whole personality. So carrying around that Orgon.
Why do you think that they... Did you have as much of a problem with the ending as I did? I think the ending is really the focal point of this episode. Because the Kesper stuff is boring. Picard and Beverly is very interesting and very satisfying and well done. It's the character moment we've all been looking for. I think this shoots itself in the foot with the ending. I think the ending is terrible.
No, I don't think I did. And I think that might be a personal thing about where you are in your time in your life and everything.
Yep.
Because, like, for whatever reason, I was kind of, I kind of felt in the mood to see the tragedy of a love lost.
Sure.
It was almost poetic to me. It wasn't genius, it wasn't amazing, but I can see their point. I didn't have really much of a problem with it at all. They're just afraid to act on their emotions, which I know in the 24th century we're supposed to be beyond that, but I always kind of liked it when they humanized the characters a little bit. I guess I'm not really in line with Gene Roddenberry's vision of the perfect utopian future, and then I think that people will always be people, and they'll always screw up, and they'll always be afraid to do something. So that's what I kind of got out of the ending, that they were afraid of their emotions, and that's the way it goes.
I can understand that. I don't think that a episode explains it well enough. It comes across as very abrupt. It's like a... To me, it's the show realizing that it is episodic in nature and it realizes in the 11th hour that it has to get out of what the episode has been saying for somehow. So apropos of nothing, Picard is like, hey, maybe we should give this relationship a whirl. And Dr. Crusher, of all people, says no to it. It's totally in a way that doesn't fit anything that they've been talking about. She just says, maybe we should be afraid of doing it, and then walks out. And it's like, what does that mean? Like, why should they be afraid of it? You haven't given him a single reason. And like I was saying earlier, I think there are so many reasons to justify them not being together, but they don't do any of them. They instead just hit the reset button, which is a frustrating thing.
You know what I think it is? I think I'm seeing my own mother and Dr. Crusher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because she could never date after, and every time that she got close to another guy, it always just fell apart. She always got scared off. Maybe that's what I'm seeing out of it. But I could totally see her reluctance to explore her emotions with this man that has been so close to her. She's probably also afraid of, you know, ruining the whole thing. And he's always been a surrogate father to Wesley. And
yes.
It's a big leap to take, in my opinion, to just try to jump into a relationship with somebody that's just so damn close.
Sure.
You know?
I think I agree with all of your rationalizations. I just don't see them in the episode, I guess, which is my issue with it, because I do agree
right.
with that. They could have done all of this, but to me, the episode ends and it just reads like, this is an episodic show. You need to reset. You need to reset everything right now, and they just do.
I can see your point. Yeah, I can see your point, because it's like, you know, Star Trek nerds, it's not like we ever overanalyzed anything.
But yeah, this is also season 7, right? Like, isn't now right. the time where you just go, fuck the book? Like, we'll write the episodes that the way that they should be written out at this point, or we'll sort of take chances with things that we weren't going to take chances on before. They don't want to do it even in season 7, which is, I guess, fitting of the show, but it's also somewhat unsatisfying as a modern viewer watching it, knowing that the end is near.
That is true. And I also think that they didn't want to show their entire hand. I mean, I remember when I was young and I found out that the show was coming to an end, and I was thinking, oh, they could do anything they want. But now looking back on it, they still had movies.
Yeah.
They had movies to do. So they didn't want to go and just blow everything,
right.
you know, in the series, because they had the movies coming, you know, from a real world adult perspective. That's how I see it now.
Yes. Yeah. It changes everything, right?
Well, right.
I think that's a good point. That the movies came and the movies did nothing with it either. So who knows, but I guess that's a good place to call it quits for that one. We've talked about Attached. I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Joe are going to come back, and we're going to give our final thoughts and ratings for Attached.
Remember when Jack and I took Wesley on his first camping trip to Belfour Lake? Wesley kept throwing manta leaves into the fire, watching them pop. Jack kept telling him, "What? Jean-Luc, I heard you. Don't push it away. When I said Jack and I felt this sudden wave of something. I didn't know you felt that way.
Didn't you?
I guess I always knew that there was an attraction between us right from the start, but I never knew how strongly you felt. Why didn't you ever tell me you were in love with me?
All right, Joe.
All right.
Attached. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that audio clip. So you've used words like mediocre and boilerplate and generic to describe this episode. On our scale of 1 to 5, 1 being total garbage you'd never watch again, 2 being an episode with problems, 3 being your average episode of Star Trek, 4 being an episode you might show to someone who's never seen an episode of Star Trek before, and 5 being an all-time classic. What are you going to give this one?
I'm going to give this one 3, because I feel that the Picard-Beverly stuff was great, and it elevated it. Now, the Kesprit stuff, that's where I'm landing the mediocre stuff. Other than a few fun scenes, that stuff was garbage. But I really liked the Picard-Beverly stuff. So that lands us perfectly in 3 territory for me.
I think I also give it a 3. It was a 4 for me until the very end.
And oh, interesting.
The very end knocked it down to a 3. I can even look past the Kesprit stuff, because the Picard-Beverly stuff is really strong, to the point where I think that it's carrying the episode and everything is sort of built around that.
Yeah, okay.
And I was also very generous with Dark Page. Just because of one ending scene, while the rest of Dark Page is horrific in so many words.
I like Dark Page, and it went a long way to rescue the Loxana Troi character. Her later episodes and her DS9 appearances certainly make the character a lot better than they were at the early days of TNG.
Dark Page made the whole Loxana thing worth it, but it only did it in like the last 10 minutes of that episode for me. But in terms of attached, I think it was a good, strong attempt at what I want to see out of season 7 that we haven't been getting a lot of. And they do it a little bit, and then they just kind of give up on it, which is very, very frustrating. But that's it. I'm gonna give this guy a 3 out of 5. It's definitely the best episode of season 7 so far, although it's a far cry from the heights of the previous seasons. Anything you want to add to that?
No, it's certainly going to get better in season 7, and it's also at this point in the series, it's difficult for me to be unbiased because of where I came in the series when I was a young boy.
Sure.
And
seasons, obviously.
Right. I only started following along on maybe in the middle of season 5.
Yep.
So season 7 was always like my jam because it's the one I remember the most. But I definitely, before viewing party hit this one, I didn't remember it at all. Right. I remember the next one. I remember Parallels quite fondly. Obviously, I remember All Good Things, but a lot of these I don't remember.
Right. A lot of them just fade into... Yeah, like Clay was talking to me about that. Just like, are you ever going to watch the show again? And I will, obviously, but it's like what the rewatch and like stuff like Star Trek Viewing Party, the subreddit, and this podcast have done to me is just show me how many episodes are just really not worth watching in a lot of ways. Like a lot of them are just kind of filling a space, and it's a little bit sad and a little bit sort of interesting, I guess. I don't know what the word would be for, but what's your favorite season of Star Trek TNG anyway? Do you know off the top of your head as after these rewatches?
Oh, yeah. 6. Easy. Okay. 6. 6 was great. Stuff like, well, Frame of Mind blew me away. I was expecting a completely average episode, and woo, what a great episode, in my opinion. What else was in that season? Ah, shit, I don't have the list in front of me, but great stuff in 6. Just all in all, a great season. I think season 7 has some extremely strong episodes when you get to stuff, you know, later on in the series. Hell, even Masks I enjoyed quite a bit, so...
We'll call it a day there. Anyway, Joe, thank you very much for coming on and talking Attached with me.
Oh, I was happy to do it, Penske. Thanks.
You want to? You can plug the viewing party if you want.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Joe, me. I am George Amberson from Star Trek Viewing Party. We've been running it for a little while. We're up to 1,500 subscribers. We're working our way through DS9 season 2. And I know that you were going to do a few podcasts for TOS, which we were going to follow along with as special events.
Yes, yeah.
So we'll coming up soon.
We'll cherry pick a few choice TOS episodes because they can't go through the whole thing. But we'll do some of them and we'll line them up with the viewing party so that it actually works out nicely.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's difficult to me to get through TOS 2 because it's TV was such a young medium at the time. I feel
it was.
So,
it absolutely
yeah.
Was. Those episodes feel very long. It's only like another 8 minutes or something, but it feels like it's like an hour and a half. I don't really understand. It's the
yeah. Now that I mentioned it, yeah, the pacing is Because I watched that one episode, the one where the Romulans were introduced, and boy, what a great episode, but man, is it slow.
It's just the A story just coming at you. Yeah, but you guys check out Reddit.com/r/ Star Trek Viewing Party, and you can join up with many other people who are leaving their thoughts and feelings about these episodes. They passed this podcast, obviously. And go ahead.
A little trick because it drives me mad when everyone says it like that. Star Trek Viewing Party .reddit.com, your favorite way to get a shortcut to your favorite subreddit.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Nice. You learn something new every single day.
There you go.
So guys, follow that link instead of the gibberish that I said, and you can go talk about some Star Trek. And if you like the content today, you're on YouTube, like in the comments. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. Any other rating on any other podcatcher is much appreciated. Facebook.com/ThePenskePodcast. You can leave a like and a comment there. You can also go to Patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast. You can leave, for the price of less than a cup of coffee a month, you get some extra podcast content that we've been going through. We do a lot of movies and sort of one-off things that doesn't really always touch on Star Trek. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's extra good stuff, and it helps support the show, and I appreciate that. Joe, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Wes.
And guys, as always, you can if you're watching this on YouTube, you can click the little poll button on YouTube and vote on the 1 to 5 what you thought about this one. I think this is going to be one of those polarizing ones. Maybe not polarizing, but it's sort of going to be a scattershot about where the ratings come in.
I think you're right.
Yeah, would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, I think these kind of episodes might rub some people the wrong way. Some people, it might be what they're looking for, and some just might be right in the middle. Anyway, guys, I'll see you later.